Sheila Cast. We're on the record. The last week and a half has been a roller coaster for refugees and the organizations that work with them. First, there was President Trump's executive order on immigration. It immediately suspended entry into the U.S. of people from seven countries, all majority Muslim, for 90 days. The ban also suspended entry for all new refugees for 120 days and Syrian refugees indefinitely. Then last Friday, a federal district court judge in Seattle issued a temporary restraining order blocking key elements of the president's executive order. Some refugees and other immigrants resumed traveling. The Trump administration appealed. Now the Federal Court of Appeals for the Western U.S. is set to hear arguments this evening. How are organizations that resettle refugees coping with the uncertainty? What are the implications for refugees if the immigration order is upheld? Ruben Chandrasekhar, Executive Director of the Baltimore and Silver Spring offices of the International Rescue Committee, is here to tell us. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you.
I'm guessing the offices you oversee might be experiencing some whiplash this week. Give us a sense of what it's been like.
Well, it's been a very difficult couple of weeks. As soon as the executive order was passed, it created a lot of chaos, I think, for all resettlement agencies, and certainly for all refugees who are in the U.S. and who hoped to be reunited with loved ones who were expected to arrive this year. So it's been a very anxious time for many of them, wondering what's going to happen to spouses and parents who they expected to see again.
Did you have refugees en route who were not able to come when the ban was announced?
Yes. So we projected resettling approximately 400 refugees in the state of Maryland over the next 4 months. About half of them have some kind of family or friendship tie to people in the U.S. So certainly about 200 of the 400 that we were expecting to resettle may have been relatives of those that we've already resettled in previous years.
But were there people literally on the way whom that you were like, oh, we're going to meet so-and-so in 3 days, and it just didn't happen?
Absolutely. We had just this month about 60 individuals whose plane tickets were basically canceled. So they were set to arrive. We had an arrival date. We were in the process of preparing modest apartment, furnishing their apartments for them. Relatives were eagerly waiting to welcome them, and then boom. The executive order came out, and literally overnight, we saw many, many cancellations of travel plans.
So the refugees with whom you work, who are already here, what are you hearing from them? What does the mood seem to be?
Well, there's a great deal of concern and sadness. Most refugees who are here, I mean, all of them, have gone through an intense vetting process before coming to the U.S. They're very grateful to be here. Many of them lead very productive lives. And we're hoping to be reunited with loved ones. And now they see that possibility fading away. Additionally, so there's that loss of perhaps not seeing family members, children, spouses, etc. Additionally, the rhetoric in the country seems to be increasingly anti-immigrant in some circles or anti-refugee. And so people are beginning to wonder if they will become targets of xenophobia and hate. Just from reading the news and following the news, we see that there's definitely been a spike in kind of Islamophobia in the country, people accosting others who look Muslim, kids getting bullied more in school, and things of that nature. And that, too, is quite troubling for many of our clients.
And your offices overseas, what are they hearing? I mean, we've read stories of particular cases of families who had sold all their belongings expecting to get on a plane and now find themselves without anything at their point of origin or at some point along the way. What are you hearing?
It's much the same, we actually, I was speaking to an individual over the weekend, he was born in the U.S., but his wife is from Syria and his children are U.S. citizens. They were set to travel to the U.S. at the end of this month. Their visas had been approved right before the executive order took hold, and they sold everything. Like they sold, you know, what little property they had in preparation for travel, including furniture and other things, and now they don't know if they'll make it across. So there are, you know, I'm sure hundreds of stories like that, and I'm aware of quite a few.
Because, of course, news media cover the latest news, there's been a lot of coverage in the last 3 days mm-hmm. of families that didn't expect to travel who have been traveling, and we've seen all these pictures of families moving through airports. I don't have any sense of kind of how common that experience is. I mean, of the refugees whom you expected to travel who were stopped, mm-hmm. have any been able to restart their plans? Have any in the last 3 days been able to move?
Yes, actually we had a very joyous occasion last night. The Silver Spring staff went to Reagan International Airport around 10 p.m. to welcome a Syrian family of five. They had initially been set to travel yesterday, but then the executive order came and their travel was canceled. And then after Judge Robart's temporary restraining order took hold, the State Department called them and said, you know, we're going to book your travel immediately so he could travel. And they ended up hustling and getting here in the nick of time.
That's Ruben Chandrasekhar, Executive Director of the Baltimore and Silver Spring offices of the International Rescue Committee, here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Last year, the IRC resettled more than 2,000 refugees in Maryland. Has the IRC resettled many refugees from the seven affected countries, Iran, Iraq, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen?
Two of those have been... three, actually. So in the last year, the largest group that we resettled were from Syria. We resettled about maybe 300 Syrians in federal fiscal year 16 that ended in September of last year. And also a couple of hundred individuals from Sudan. You know, as you know, the Syrian crisis is one of the most brutal civil wars that's happening. Over 5 million Syrians have been displaced out of their country and living in atrocious conditions in camps. The U.S. government has worked very hard to vet them. Many of them, the vetting process takes anywhere from 1 to 2, sometimes 3 years before they are cleared for entry. You know, we were very happy to finally receive a number of Syrians last year and this year until this ban took hold. We currently have a Sudanese individual who came here as a refugee many years ago that we resettled. He's now a U.S. citizen. He actually works for the IRC in Baltimore. And he had gotten married and was hoping for his wife to be traveling this year. And now he's not sure if that will happen.
What is a typical profile of a refugee family or a refugee whom you settle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there are so many different kinds. I mean, I could tell you the story of one individual. You know, I recently met him 2 weeks ago. He had come here from Syria. He was actually a baker in Aleppo, and he was apparently quite famous for his baklava. And, you know, Aleppo, of course, got caught up in the war, and the store that he operated was bombed. He lost family, and he ended up having to flee to Jordan, where he lived in a camp for many, many years before applying and then ultimately being cleared to come to the U.S. And he arrived in the Silver Spring office, I don't know, like 3 weeks ago. You know, he has other family in the refugee camps that he's hoping to bring here one day. You know, he's so incredibly grateful for the opportunity to get a job again. So he's working very hard to find a job currently, and we're helping him to do that. you know, like many other Syrians who came before him, I'm absolutely certain that, you know, within a couple of months he'll be working and contributing to the local economy, paying taxes and moving on with his life.
Essentially, the way the resettlement process works mm-hmm. is refugees have about a year after they get here, right, to learn the language, to learn English and find a job and be self-supporting?
Actually, it's quite shorter than that. So the government assistance typically lasts, the initial assistance is only for about 3 or 4 months. So it pays for their kind of their initial rent for 3 or 4 months. And then very quickly, we help them to find work. And about 85% of the people that we serve are self-sufficient, meaning they are working and paying their own bills within 6 to 8 months after they arrive.
President Trump has said, quote, dangerous people, close quote, may be pouring into the U.S. because the ban was temporarily lifted. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think that's, not true. The U.S. has resettled over 3 million refugees since 1975 successfully. After the 9/11 terrorist attacks, we haven't had a single instance of a refugee causing any kind of harm in the U.S. The U.S. has the most sophisticated security vetting system for refugees. They have to prove that they've fled persecution, that they fear death, and then they go through an intense screening process that includes many in-person interviews, the running of their biographic and biometric data against countless security databases, and reviews by at least 6 or 7 U.S. government agencies, including the FBI, the CIA, the Department of Defense, and other agencies, so that the people prove their identities before they can come here. So, you know, this security system has been in place and it's been functioning very well. And I do not see any kind of quote-unquote extreme vetting system being any better. In fact, I think this executive order by affecting many Muslims disproportionately sends the wrong message to those Muslim extremists who want to do us harm. You know, they have the perfect recruiting tool now to say, hey, listen, the U.S. doesn't care about Muslims. Just look at the 7 countries that they have banned. Come join me instead, right? So I think this sends the exact wrong kind of message, and I do not think it's going to keep America safer.
How will it affect your organization, the International Rescue Committee, if all resettlement is indeed suspended for 4 months, 120 days?
Well, it's a very troubling time for all resettlement agencies, including the International Rescue Committee. We were prepared to resettle close to 1,000 individuals in the Baltimore metro area, and now it may be less than half of that. The president has, by this executive order, cut the number of refugees coming into the U.S. from 110,000 to about 50,000, so it's more than 50% cut. So that could involve budget cuts, which would then translate into reduced services for those refugees that we've already resettled. It's a troubling time for our clients and for our staff. I think also, you know, it's a troubling time, if I may, for the nation, in that it brings to light many parallels that we confronted in the past. Just earlier this month, the Washington Post ran an article remembering the experience of 947 Jews who had boarded the SS St. Louis in Hamburg, Germany in 1939 with the hopes of gaining entry to Cuba, and they were turned away in Cuba, and then they tried to gain entry into Miami and pleaded with President Roosevelt, who denied them entry. And ultimately, that ship was turned back and sent back to Europe, and about 254 of them ended up dying in the Holocaust as a result of that. Last night, 20 rabbis were protesting outside of Trump Plaza, were arrested for civil disobedience because they blocked traffic, because they remembered that turning away people who are fleeing persecution is not only morally bankrupt, but it also goes against the traditions of the U.S. being a beacon of hope for those fleeing persecution. And it's this fight, I think, is what we're seeing erupting all across the country with people coming out to the airports saying refugees are welcome. It's a fight to define the moral strength of this country and the vision that we have for the future of this country, who is welcome and who isn't.
We have just about a minute left. What response is the IRC seeing from the general public, if any?
Well, it's been very positive. We have hundreds of phone calls into the office, people wanting to volunteer. We always welcome donations to our website, to the IRC in Maryland, Baltimore, Silver Spring. And if there's one thing you can do is pick up the phone and talk to your U.S. House of Representatives or senator and say that you'd like to keep Maryland and the country a welcoming place for refugees.
Reuben, I appreciate your giving us this picture. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Reuben Chandrasekhar is Executive Director of the Baltimore and Silver Spring offices of the International Rescue Committee at the On the Record page at WIPR.org. We will link to their website. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Quick break now. When we come back, we'll hear the first in a new series on the record. It's called More Than Words, and it's co-produced by a group of Baltimore teenagers. Stay with us.